Hi, my name is Con Koutsikas and this is A Cuppa with a Conversationalist, an entertaining, educational and informative program with a broad array of guests with unique perspectives and experiences. And for more information about my coaching and workshops, visit my website at www.conkoutsikas.com. Welcome to another episode of A Cuppa with a Conversationalist, and my name is Con. I am the conversationalist, and yes, I have my latte in tow as always. My guest has her cuppa as well. Fantastic. My guest this morning is Sally A. Curtis. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Con. Fantastic to see your bright, smiling face and be with you today.
You say the sweetest things. I got to tell the audience, Sally. I've known Sally for many years, and she is one of the most coordinated individuals I've ever seen in my entire life. I've never seen a mismatch of glass color frames and outfit and the like. So absolute credit to yourself there, Sally.
Thank you.
Now, what's important today, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're in business, we understand that social media is an absolute must. We may not like it, but it's an essential part of doing business. And I, for one, and I'm sure I'm no orphan when I speak here, Sally, that coming up with content is challenging. You know, where am I going to get it from? How long is it going to take? And it turns out to become quite a stressful exercise. And so why are we here for the listeners and viewers? Let me tell you about Sally. Sally is a content repurposing whiz, and I mean whiz with a capital W. Sally is helping you turn your existing content and collateral into new profitable brand assets. Sally can show you how to turn your book or articles into 2 years worth of bite-sized content for social media to save you time and energy by giving you a library of reusable graphic tiles and videos. Sally's message is to amplify your voice, your message, and your impact across all the services. Sally creates leverage for you by maximizing your visibility, saving you time, and accelerating your speed to the market. Sally, you're just the person that I need to ask questions for a friend.
Yeah, absolutely. You ask away.
That's one of the great things of doing a podcast here, that you get to ask all these questions that you really want the answers to.
Absolutely.
Sally, let's kick off firstly. How did Sally end up as a repurposing queen? Tell me.
Oh, absolutely. Well, long story short, like you and like lots of people, I do not like writing and I do not like creating content and I don't even like social media, to be very, very blunt. So I'm always trying to find the fastest way to get to the end goal. That's just part of my nature, as most people know. They would describe me as fast paced. For me, the story goes back about 8 years ago when one of my coaches at the time said to me, "For God's sake, Sally, you've got at least 6 books ready to write." And I went, "You've got to be nuts, because I don't write." He said, "But you speak." And I went, "Yeah." And he threw the challenge at my feet. And 8 years ago, we turned one of my 45-minute presentations that had a training manual to go with it into 2 books. Now, 8 years ago, I only thought that I'd become an author. It's taken me all that time to realize that I'd actually had somebody else had actually repurposed my content. So it was through working with the professional speakers and service-based businesses, etc., that have this huge struggle, and I was getting them, and you described them perfectly when they're, you know, they've got on this, you know, different hamster wheel of trying to create content. They're stressed, they're fatigued, and they've had a gutful. So, you know how you fall into things and then it becomes a thing? A client said to me, they shared their book with me and a couple have shared their articles with me. And I went, "There's some gold nuggets in here," and just went through with my bossy highlighter pen going, "That's gold, that's gold, that's gold." And I've always loved Canva. So I created them some graphic tiles, Sally versions, not my graphic designer version.
Sure, yeah.
And then the clients sort of went, "Wow, this is good." And it was 2.5, 3 years ago when I repurposed a client's 6 Zoom videos. So it was 3 hours worth of Zoom videos. And he at the time had an ebook. And we turned that into 32 videos. And we turned it into 2 years worth of social media post suggestions. And it was actually him that said to me, "Woohoo, I've done, you know, we've created 2 years worth of social media content." And then I went, "Oh my God. That is a thing." And being an opportunity hunter, it really dawned on me that that was a service and that was exactly what people were needing. They needed to, A, know how to create content easily. And for those that were doing it and were getting stuck on the hamster wheel of constantly creating new content, they needed to be able to leverage it to increase their brand assets, but also increase their profitability, both at the beginning of lead generation and at the end of customer service. So that's the long story, very as short as I could make it.
No, that's fantastic. And I can absolutely relate to that, because just listening to you saying that you turned one of your 45-minute presentations into a book, the wheels have already started turning here. And I'm sure it will for the listeners as well, because we've all got something, you know, whether it's a Zoom call that we did that went for a training for, you know, 20, 30, 40 minutes to produce an ebook. We've all got something. And until somebody sort of taps you on the back of the shoulder, it's a bit like for those that are my ilk, there's a famous cartoon that used to do the rounds of General George Custer. And for those that know General George Custer, he was an American cavalryman back fighting the Indians. And there's a famous photo. Somebody's tapping him on the shoulder, and it's a little English man with a bowler hat and a machine gun. And he's saying, "Not now, I'm busy. Not now, I'm busy." And that's exactly what's happening. Sally, I want to talk about you mentioned videos, so let's get straight into that one. I currently edit my own videos. I've got a program which I use, which is quite simple for con. I liken it a bit like an iPhone. The majority of people can tap into probably about 5-10% of what the phone can do. But you've got to be a whiz to understand. And even whizzes probably are at 70, 75, 80%. They're probably not at 100%. And I'm like that with that video editing program. I find it still time consuming. I understand your concept of repurposing, but I still find it very time consuming and therefore procrastinate. Have you got any suggestions, hints, tips, any services that you recommend?
Yeah, absolutely. So it as it relates to video editing, everyone thinks I'm technical. Not really. I work out and find good tools that help me do what it is that I do. So for me, I'll backtrack very slightly. When I'm doing editing, for me, working with the written word is always easiest. So I will always transcribe and work with a written document versus the video or a podcast. If we're doing snippets, I'll always go to the written word, because Sally's bossy and she's got pens and highlighters on her table. And I literally go through and I scan, and it is scan. I don't read. It's scanning intuitively. And this is the tip for all of the listeners when you're wanting to repurpose. Scan it, and whatever jumps off the page is the relevant gold nugget that you need to see. So highlighter pens is a great tool. Pencil if you need to write notes. And print, certainly print it off in the written form, or have it on your desktop as a printing form and use your highlighter on your desktop. So I find the gold nuggets that way. And then the tool that I use as it relates to video editing is we use a tool called Perfect Recall. And the reason we use that is because I am not an editing whiz like Con. And this literally helps. All we do with this tool is we highlight where, so I get my piece of paper that I've highlighted, and I go on to and use this tool, and the tool provides a transcription of the video, and I literally highlight that bit that I need to highlight, like you copy and paste any document, and you go let go, and it creates a clip for you. And then you go down to the next one and highlight it, bing, and it creates a clip for you. And you go down to the next one and you highlight, and it goes bing, creates a clip for you.
Get out.
Nope. It's copy and paste editing. Sally loves it.
What's that called again?
Perfect Recall.
Perfect.
So think of Arnold.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite. Ladies and gentlemen, if you've only got this far, it has been absolutely worth the weight in gold. Sally, that is just an absolute gem.
I've got another one for you. I haven't actually used it yet. Hold on, let me find my notes. A client told me about this yesterday.
Wow.
It's called Headliner, and it's to create, includes closed captioning, and it's to create podcast audio grabs. Same, similar tool. Haven't used it yet, but it looks brilliant from what I've seen.
And these are apps, or are they programs on PC or Mac?
Did I mention that I'm not technical?
No, you're right. Absolutely right. Apps, fair enough. Yeah. No, we won't get bogged down with that.
Google it. So they're programs. They're things that I've found originally on AppSumo, with the exception of Headliner tool. I'm not sure. I've just Googled that and found information on it.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you very, very much for that, Sally.
You're welcome.
The next part of that is, obviously, we've got our content and we've sat down and, you know, I'm guessing that you would commit a certain amount of time. So you go, okay, I'm going to spend half a day or a day and just absolutely knock out all this content. Is that fair to say? Is that what you do or not?
It is. I'm just going to backtrack and pull you up. The minute you think that you've got to spend a day or half a day, you're actually thinking too practical and not intuitive enough.
Ooh.
Okay.
Okay. So help me here then.
I'm saying that because I used to do the, oh my God, I've got to do a day. I've booked it out in my calendar. I'm already begrudging it and I'm already not motivated to do it by the sheer thought of having to spend a day doing content creation. So the thing for me is, whatever content that you have already created, Zooms, you've probably got USBs, you've got client conversations, anything like that. Keep it and store it, and then spend 2 hours or 90 minutes and you literally go, right, what content have I got? And you literally go through and copy and paste. So you've got to create a methodical system that can work easily with you. So for me, it's store the content, spend 90 minutes extracting it. So we're going through, that's that intuitive finding all the gold nuggets. You can't extract and be creative. You've got to silo those scenarios. Sort it. This first one, extract it. So you've got all of your content extracted in all that highlighted mess. For me, that looks like that for those that are using the, just I've got a sheet there that's an article that I've got different color highlighting information on. Then when you've done that, then with whatever time you have left, you jump into your Canva account and start creating some tiles and those sorts of things as well. Now, for us, we predominantly do Instagram tiles for clients, unless they're specifically LinkedIn clients.
Yeah.
Because an Instagram tile can be used across all of the social media platforms, and I like to do things fast.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Just reutilize what we can.
Great advice. And you're right. Even as I was saying it, you know, do you allocate half a day or a day? And I'm thinking, my God, most people are going, I can't allocate a whole day out of my diary. And so that's pretty good advice. One of the questions that I have here, Sally, is personally, I don't have a problem finding text. So, you know, the help that you've given me, which is invaluable and I'm very grateful for, has helped me come up with text. Absolutely not a problem. Where I struggle is imagery.
Yeah.
And I know Canva is an amazing product, and I'm getting much better at it. For those that who, if you haven't heard of it, you've been living under a rock.
Yes.
But what do you do, or what suggestions do you have in terms of imagery? Because this, for me personally, I've got a finite amount of con, you know, either speaking or, you know, with a big smile. What are your thoughts? What are your suggestions?
Imagery is one of our, I suppose, gifts that we provide to clients. So I'm going to just explain it this way. My belief is the image positions the viewer. So let me say that again. The image positions the viewer. So let me just take you on a slight tangent and I'll explain that. I've got a friend and a client that works in the performance space. She's got a very specific four-worded tagline, and she works with wearable tracking devices and those sorts of things. So she has three niche markets. One is aged care, one is executives and CEOs, and one is elite athletes, for example. So when you think of those three things, three very separate images would have come up: aged care, executives and CEOs, and world champion athletes. So if you've got a message to get to your audience, that message and that particular visual will stop the scroll. So the aged care related imagery will be relevant and will stop the scroll for the aged care niche. If they're executive, an executive looking image will stop the scroll for that one. So it sorts the audiences. So this is where I mean the image will positions the viewer. So if you're targeting aged care, then the imagery needs to be around aged care because that will stop the scroll because it'll self-sort through the busyness of social media and the feeds, etc. So we spend a lot of time in Canva, and another great tool versus Shutterstock and all of the other ones out there that I've found is a mob called 123rf.com. They have great images. They're paid for images, but we find lots and lots and lots in Canva. So we will always go through Canva and pre-select a whole range of images that suit the client's demographic and target market, but also the right essence of the client. And that when you start looking at images, some people want, very bold images with all of the background clear. Others just need the thing at the image at the front showing up and the background sort of more out of focus. So when you start searching in Canva, and we will literally create a whole line, a line or, Instagram size tiles with all of the images that we think are suitable for the client. And, Canva's got a search function that works like Google. So if I put in aged care, or if I put in CEOs and executives or female, I'll get images. It'll suggest images. And then we just create the tile, which has just got an image on it, simply so we have a library of images pre-sorted and ready to go. Time saving tip again.
Oh, Sally, you are worth your weight in gold, you are.
Thank you.
Sally, I want to go back to a point that you made regards the essence of the client. Can you elaborate a little bit more on what you mean by that?
So I'll give you an example of a current client that we're actually in that process of sort of going, which essence is the right. So we're doing a bit of brand development for her as well. Now I have a bit of an idea of who I believe she is as far as an essence go. And for us, when we're working with clients, we work on the philosophy: it's a hell yeah or it's a hell absolutely not. So, and that's how we go through and sort. So when we're doing imagery, we will go and we'll go, is it in or out, in or out, in or out, and that's how we will refine to get to the real essence. But for example, as I'll do the female example, if somebody's like me, and this client that I'm referring to is like me, she wears bold colors, she's fast paced, she's much taller than me and makes a brilliant entrance into a room. But she wears powerful colors, bold colors, handbag, glasses, shoes all match. So
Coordinated.
there's an essence, there's a confidence element. But if I was to give her soft, flowery, very floral looking elements, it wouldn't, it would be a bit of a mismatch. It would still be nice and it would still be sort of relevant for her, but it would create a bit of a mismatch in her audience viewing it. Again, this is the imagery positions the viewer, because they'd go, oh, I haven't seen her wear pink before. So one of the things that we always do is, you know, I'll always ask clients, what are your favorite clothes colors you wear? Because again, people expect me to be in my red glasses and my red jacket. Mm-hmm. If I want to hide at an event, I've got a black jacket on and I've changed my glasses and people will not see me because they expect to see me as I am.
Yeah.
And our clients and our audience expect a certain thing of us. So when you mismatch that certain expectation, you do remain invisible. Now, I've got another client who's the reverse of that. She's very citrus, very vivacious. Her brand colors are very citrusy, which is an unusual combination from a branding perspective. And she's all about wellness and energy. So her imagery is very much nature driven, the strength of bamboo. So if we've used imagery in the background of tiles or on any of her content, it's nature focused. Even down to the elements that I love the idea of using bees. And she said, no, some of my audience are allergic to bees and something, you know, I didn't even think of that. You know, it's all those little teeny tweaks and essences that help you stand up, because people then go, oh my God, that's Con. You become a recognizable brand because of the way you use your imagery.
And I guess for the people that know, using that client that you were talking about in the beginning, you know, wearing bold colors, and for those that know her and wearing that, if they saw these pretty florally colors, I guess you could look at it and go, well, it's not kind of congruent. Is that also a fair call?
Absolutely.
Because obviously, from a brand perspective, we want our market our message needs to be congruent with who we are and what our message is. I'm a big fan of Later as a scheduling tool.
Yep.
Now, the buggers have gone and changed their packages and put their prices up, which is absolutely no surprise. Is it fair to say that scheduling tools are a massive part of what you do, Sally?
Yeah, purely again because it's speed to market for me, and I'm very much a systemized person, and I love set and forget. So when we talked about earlier, we talked about extracting your content and then you create your content.
Mm-hmm.
Then for me, I literally get to the point of where I will schedule 3 months out. So I can do it 12 months, majority of content that was easy to do 12 months when we were running face-to-face events and we knew what we were doing.
Yeah.
I do definitely schedule all of my content other than that spur of the moment content. I do often schedule it 3 months out. I have the capacity to do that because I know what my products and services are, and I know what I'm promoting, and I know what I'm selling for the 90 days. So that's something that we work very strongly with the client, is getting that, you know, that foundational elements in place, ready to go. That's where that reusable brand asset and brand library comes into play, because you've got elements that can be reused at different times. And then the more on the run, the more relationship building here, you know, the dog and I, you've all seen the dog and I pictures.
Yep.
You know, they're done on the spur of the moment when you so choose to. But for me, my educational elements, my promotional elements, and hey, you know, my tips, my teachable elements, all those are scheduled 3 months in advance.
And what scheduling tools are your favorites?
So for me, I've gone through most of them. I'm currently landed on Loomly, which we've been using for a while, because I can have up to 10 social media platforms. Not that I have 10, tell me, but it allows me to use it for clients and myself, and allows my team to come in there and do I think I can have three team members in there at any one time as well. But it enables me to, because I'm visual and I'm used to, I've got a big calendar on my wall, so I'm used to functioning it with a calendar. This actually will give me a calendar view of what content's going out at what time. And it'll also give me a visual view of what imagery is going out with what wording. So I've got two different views that I can use with it. And not a lot of the tools will let you schedule that far in advance, but this one.
Can you spell it for me?
Loomly.
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 I'm still probably rubbing two sticks together to make fire where everybody else is using a blowtorch. But some of the original scheduling tools like, and the name escapes me now.
Buffer and Hootsuite.
Hootsuite, thank you. You can't schedule videos.
No, you haven't been, you can, particularly on LinkedIn, you haven't and weren't able to do that, and that was a LinkedIn limitation scenario, but you can now schedule videos.
Okay.
On all the Canva videos I do, as well as some of the YouTube ones on Loomly full stop. Okay. And you can recently you've been able to do that with Loomly and LinkedIn as well, so you can schedule those in advance.
Is it safe to say that if you use Loomly, it's you don't need to use anything else? Is that a fair call?
Yeah, I don't use anything.
You don't use anything else? No. Okay, fantastic.
You
another one.
You can schedule from Canva as well, just so you know.
Oh, don't confuse me, Sally.
I haven't tried that, but there is a functionality to do that or post from there.
That's a bit like the iPhone. I'm using it about 5% capacity and everyone else is, like I said, I'm rubbing two sticks together and people are using blow torches to light fires. Sally, I want to talk about, first of all, frequency. Mm. Now, when it comes to social media frequency, there's a multitude of schools of thought. And I look at the likes of Gary Vee, who I'm sure most of our viewers and listeners will be aware of, and I'm sure you are, Kerwin Ray, et cetera, et cetera. And Kerwin is really a, I won't say disciple, that's probably a bit harsh, but he's definitely took a leaf out of Gary's book. And it's like, pump that content, like just not, you know, not create document. So just pump, pump, pump. There are certain coaches that I've spoken to of late, their view is 3-4 times a week max. The important component of that being regularity, which I understand. And my daughter, this is a gratuitous plug for you, Natalie, Digitale social media and creative here in Adelaide is 3 times a week. Saying, Dad, you don't need to post every single day. Just be regular. Tell me Sally's perspective on this.
Consistency is king. So my favorite word, and if you're consistent, you can create leverage. But if you're putting crap content out, then consistency is going to kill you. So it's not so much about being, you know, how many times, it's all it is. It's how many times can you really provide good value content is number one. Number two is how often does your audience actually need to consume it is the thing. So do you know your audience intimately enough to know? Like one of my clients, he works very specifically with very, very large organizations, and his audience is very much the CEOs and head decision makers. Now, we've worked out through doing the analytics of the social posts and all those sorts of things that the best traction, that means interaction, which is what we're all looking for, because that's where the conversations come. Is Saturday morning and Sunday afternoon. So he just posts on those two points. Doesn't need to post any other time. That's when his clients are on. That's when they want to consume him. It's all about when does our client want to consume us? However, if we've got to the point and we've got good quality content that we can get out, because we've ch turned the good, the good gems into bite-sized content, into those snapshots, you can increase your frequency and your consistency to just be more visible and to work out when are the best days. So everything's test and measure. So, you might find at the beginning of the week, Loomly, for example, will tell you that, well, I don't think you should post on LinkedIn or do a video on this day. And it's like, yeah, you might not think that, but I know my audience is looking for it at this time on that day because I get feedback and I watch what's happening. So yes, consistency is king. It's consistency on the right days when your audience are ready to consume you, and as frequently as your audience dictates, or as frequently as you need to determine and find your best rhythm. Would be the Sally advice. On average, for me, I post between 3 and 4 times a week. I still have clients that post 2 times a day, and then I've got other clients that only post 2 times a week. Know your audience. Keep your message and your content consistent. Add massive value to the audience, and then watch the data to determine what you need to do.
I'll talk about data in just a minute. I guess I just want to summarize. So for me, my takeaway here is that consistency but quality are probably on the same level. Because as you said, if you're consistent and you're posting absolute garbage, it's probably going to be more detrimental than anything else. So consistency and quality of your content. So let's talk about analytics for the moment. I understand them, and I'm at a very basic level in terms of understanding these analytics, but we'll use Instagram as an example. And I look at the analytics that I get in terms of when my followers or the people that view my post or interact with them, what time, of the day and what days and whatever. And apart from the very odd, real odd gap, it seems to be quite consistent. Just keep going. Is that what you would say?
Instinctively,
Yeah,
you're
okay.
finding a rhythm there. If you want to test it, do something on an odd day, on an odd time, in an odd way.
You
So yeah, so let me explain that. So if you're providing
Yeah.
normal content, something to do odd if you haven't done it is ask your question, like pose a really good question to the audience.
Okay.
And they go, oh, that's a bit different. It's a different day. What's going on? And everyone's got an opinion, so you'll get
Sure.
a bit more of an information through. So if you've got a really nice rhythm, stick to it. But by testing it, by tipping the apple cart, in there, or
Yeah.
giving something away for free and asking people if they want it, or those sorts of things on a different day, just to mix it up. It's sort of like bringing the bubbles to a bubbles along to a party when you've got that friend that comes in. It just creates a bit of interest, and they go, oh, what's going on? He's doing something different, and that increases engagement, which increases conversations, which then increases your conversion opportunities.
Just before we go, this is kind of going a little bit off track, but I'm just curious on your perspective because I know how active you are. You're an absolute machine when it comes to your brand and how you run your business. And I'm that conversation we had at that meeting that one time, I nearly fell off my chair when you told me about your LinkedIn activity. But what I want to ask you is, from a lead magnet perspective, we look at producing lead magnets, create engagement, build up our database, and so on and so forth. Ebooks, white papers, whatever you want to call them, have been, I guess, the go-to for a long, long, long time. First course I did probably 7 years ago, the ebook was the pinnacle.
Cool.
In your experience and how pardon me, things are transitioning, what do you see as the go-to lead magnet doubt now in terms of consumer behavior? And I'll preface that I understand the market may have an impact on the type of product they want to consume. But as a generalization, what would you be recommending as a lead magnet nowadays?
Yeah, I'm laughing here because it's exactly not what I thought it was going to be. So I've just been doing this. I had a coach of mine challenge us at the beginning of the year saying, you know, find 15 things that you can give, or, you know, you can give away for free. And I went, you've got to be nuts. Things. Then I started going through my folders going, oh crap, I've got 25 now. So yes, yeah. I actually am a repurposer. And the funny thing was the ebooks, as you said, which are always the thing, or the white papers, or the, you know, the how-to document and the thing, they have not quite, but almost flatlined. In other words, it's gone meh. The things that have worked really, really well for me have been really simple one-page tips, etc. So in my case, I created the one-pager on, you know, shot lists, e.g. photographs for different industries of how to, you know, start to structure.
Yeah, I saw that.
Photos, which I think you saw. That people wanted. It was like, really? Really? But I've got the ebook over here that's, you know, blah. It's got
jam-packed.
Yeah, jam-packed. No, it was that. And then it was the, you know, I had a checklist of, you know, 43 different ways that you can content repurpose. That went nuts. It's like, but the ebook on how to do your, you know, blah. And it was, and that to me re-edified the mission that I've seen and the transformation I've seen in the marketplace, which is why I do what I do, which is creating and turning long-form content into bite-sized graphics. Everybody is so fatigued. We're fatigued. Our clients are fatigued. They want it in snapshots. And ebook versus checklist, or a, you know, how, you know, one-page how-to document is taking the long to the short. Everyone wants fast, easy to implement. You know, is there two things in here that I can action in my business right now? So it's not, and this is which is the beauty of, you know, creating content now. Mm. We've already got all this massive amounts of it. We just need to bring stuff to the market that's small in bite size, easy to consume chunks. I'm going to say a phrase here. We need to create content and these giveaways and these lead magnets that are easy for our audience to consume on their worst day.
I'm writing this down. Okay. If anybody in the audience is saying, "Geez, it's gone quiet there," it's because I'm writing it down. Easy to consume on their worst day.
So if you let's look at our email inbox. So all of the emails are coming in, and you go, we all do it. We scan through, and there's one email that's got three sentences, and there's one that's got 33 paragraphs. You go delete. Yep, I might read that one in a minute. Three sentences, awesome, I'll read that one. Six sentences, okay, I might read that one. So everyone is sorting based on, can I consume it? I'm having a crap day and I just want some information, some entertainment and some nourishment or you know, what can I do to move forward? So it's, how can you give your audience forward movement without you? So create something that gives them something that they can move forward with, and they will remember you for that. And as a result, they'll come back and they'll continue to consume you. They'll continue to check in with you, or even on their worst day, because you're easy to consume. You're part of their, you know, you're becoming part of their family. And what often happens is in that situation, they're consuming us. They're referring us to their friends. They're talking about us. They might not have done business with us yet, but they're doing the referring and talking about us. So they become advocates, and then eventually they become business for us. It's actually reverse to what most people think.
Reverse. I just keep coming up with these questions here, which is just my feeble little brain is just going off with the fairies here. Awesome. So when you talk about, let's just touch on the lead magnet and, you know, bite-sized consumption of information. Are you seeing, or are you recommending a different type of perhaps medium, i.e., is there any value from a lead magnet perspective? As is it helping the audience from an audio rather than having to read it, where they can just go, oh, just plug in, I'll just listen to this, rather than have a physical, tangible product?
Great, great question. So I'm going to say, preface it this way. If you know your audience well enough, you'll know what their learning style is and their preferred method of consumption is. If you don't yet, then I suggest you write your ebook and you create your ebook. Then you turn your ebook into bite-sized graphic tiles. You turn it into a video and you turn it into an audio and see which gets consumed.
Oh, Sally, you've just created about a week's worth of work for me. But
it'll be 3 months worth of content.
But boom. That's why you're the repurposing whiz. Absolutely. Sally, if anybody who hears this doesn't think they've got value, you're nuts. Sally, I personally have just got so much out of our chat today, and I know that the value that you have delivered in our 35 minutes here is just absolutely priceless, and I know it'll be greatly appreciated. I thank you so much for your time. I know you get up very early in the morning with your American business associates, and I'm very grateful that you've been able to give me your time and the listeners' time. My guest today has been Sally A. Curtis, content repurposing whiz queen. My name is Con. I am the conversationalist. And until next time, bye for now.
Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of A Cuppa with a Conversationalist. To join in next time, follow or subscribe. And for more information about my coaching and workshops, visit my website at www.conkoutsikas.com.